Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Okay, folks, it is time to ride again with the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangway Along for the Ride podcast and Zoom. Got a lot of work to do, guys. We are driven by Bet Online, your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball to UFC, MMA, NHL, and a whole lot more. All right, we're going to start with controversy. J.J. Redick, who I really appreciate his candor when he talks about the NBA. I really appreciate what he does. However, he caused a stir when he had this to say about Larry Bird and the three-point shot.
It's just math. It's attempts, it's makes, and it's percentage. And there's no way you could ever argue Larry Bird is a top three three-point shooter of all time. You just you can't make that argument.
You're basing it on math in a time of when he played. I'm basing it on just shooting. Bird is a unbelievable.
Again, we had this discussion the other day. About James Naismith. James Naismith invented the game. You were rewarded for putting the ball in the basket. There's plenty of people that have shot more, made more, and guess what? Made more at a higher percentage than Larry Bird from three. I'm not saying Larry Bird is not one of the greatest shooters ever. He's not one of the greatest three-point shooters ever.
And then Dominique Wilkins, who certainly knows a lot about Larry Bird's game, had this to say about what J.J. said.
Let me say something. First of all, Redick don't know what the hell he's talking about. I'm going to say it. Right?
I agree.
He don't know what the hell he's talking about. I'm like, what basketball was you watching? To say something as idiotic as that is ridiculous. The physicality that was a part of the league. Hey, look, when you can put your hand on a guy's hip and make him go a certain way, if you can put that elbow in his chest to slow him up, which we call slowing a guy up when you're coming down the lane, so many guys can deal with that type of pressure. And for J.J. Redick, who played this game, I'm very disappointed that he has said something so stupid. This is the thing I'm having a problem with. Bird, who's a big guy, who got bumped all the time, you know. So I don't understand the logic for him saying that. So it just don't make sense. When this is the thing I hate the most, we had our time. It was a great time. It's their time now.
Yes,
but don't crap on us to prove your point.
Yeah,
because it doesn't make sense and it's not valid.
Yeah,
but the same thing, they look at Sam and myself, oh, the big the old guys hating.
No,
we hating on what? I don't hate on
no.
I don't. I just don't like the disrespect.
Yeah.
And to say that about Larry Bird, it was less physicality. Is he stupid?
Back to back MVP.
Stupid comment to make. And he should know better than that.
Yeah.
And I don't care what he feel about me, you know, what his response might be. But when I hear that, I'm like, you really don't know, do you?
Okay, guys. Bob, I'm going to start with you. You were there. You have seen both. Your thoughts on both comments from both men?
Well, J.J. continues to embarrass his university and diminishes the worth of a Duke degree by speaking with such colossal ignorance in public, with such arrogance and authority. I kind of thought he was bright. I thought he was a poet. Remember that business in college?
He is bright. Bob, he actually is bright.
You know I'm being facetious, but I'm it's idiocy that suggests that a no hand checking finesse league where people are camping out 42 and a half feet from the basket and nobody goes to the hoop, but or it doesn't post play, is more less physical than the NBA of 30. Oh my God, talk about 50 or 60 years ago, but even 30 years ago. What does he come up with this? And I'm more power to Dominique Wilkins, who I know is a Bird fan, and vice versa. For the coming to his defense, this defies common sense.
Yeah, I'm with you, and the Bird stuff about 3-point shooter. I get what he was trying to argue there. He's trying to say, well, like he didn't ever do it. Well, here's some numbers, JJ. Just so you know, 4 years that Larry was healthy, and just to preface this, I didn't grow up in Boston a Larry Bird fan or a Celtics fan at all. In fact, I was a Sixers fan, as you know, Bob. Mm-hmm. 4 years when Larry was healthy. From 84 to 88, or relatively healthy, he shot 42% from three, 326 of 787, in an era in which, again, it wasn't even big at that point. And look at what he did. Imagine if that's what he had worked on all the time, like a.k.a. J.J. Redick, what he could have been as a three-point shooter. To me, yeah, maybe he wouldn't have been Steph, but he might have been number two.
Back then, and it was a part of the game.
Right.
It was actually a minor part of the game more often. But Larry Bird was the first. Hey, JJ, I hope you're listening. Larry Bird was the first player to make this 3-point in the NBA, not the ABA, because, you know, they came from. But the first player in the NBA to make the 3-point shot a strategic weapon. He liked to use it as a dagger in the fourth quarter or something like that. And he used it. Nobody else used it as strategically as Larry Bird did. You know, you weren't out there taking 14 or 15. I'm going to guess. I can look it up. The most he ever made in a game probably was like four, maybe five. I don't know. But the most he ever took was probably seven or eight. And it wasn't the game. The game has changed. We're not getting that thing, right? The game has changed. Okay. So, I mean, but it was just to deny his greatness as a 3-point shooter is absolutely, you know.
But again, he's watching, like they said, like you're watching YouTube clips. That's what you're watching. You weren't right around for it. So, and again, there's no reason to diminish it. That, you know, he's diminishing the skill level then and saying, yeah, of course, Bill Laimbeer couldn't play in today's NBA. We know that. Jahlil Okafor can't play in today's NBA. The NBA has changed. I'll say the other thing, Bob, a lot of these dudes that are scoring 40 today aren't scoring 30 back then, right? Like JJ, the offensive numbers are so inflated with some of these guys that are getting 40 and averaging 30 plus. It has changed. Yes, there were pros back then. There were cons back then. But to say anything disparaging about Larry Bird and his perimeter shooting and his 3-point shooting, asinine. Like JJ, he probably beat your ass in a 3-point shooting contest today.
By the way, Laimbeer could shoot from distance. Laimbeer could.
Yeah, he could.
No, the big thing about Laimbeer is he had no post game. We used to kid him out there that in the offseason, I used to talk to Chuck Daly, and he'd let, instead of working on his post game, he would in the offseason, he'd work on his short game. Yeah. He was a golf fanatic.
It was probably more like
I'm just saying, he was ahead of his time.
Right.
Reminds me a lot of a Brook Lopez kind of thing.
The guys like Rick Mahorn, Charles Oakley.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys aren't playing. Those guys, we get it. The game has changed. We understand that part of it. But, yeah, like, again, for better and worse right now, guys are better shooters on the whole. They're more athletic. They're more do they put more time? You know, that was the other part. Was it him who said they put more time in the gym all the time now? And, yeah, well, there's more facilities, right? That's the difference, too. There's more for these guys on site to be able to work on their game. They all have, you know, trainers now. So, yeah, they're probably putting in.
They all make more money.
But you're telling me Larry Bird didn't put time in?
Come on. I mean, Bob was there. I mean, Bob was there. I mean, Larry shot, 100 foul shots after every practice?
No, Larry. Yeah, Larry was not going to. He's not. He wasn't going to waste an opportunity to get those points. I can tell you that. Yeah, yeah. Well, no. Anyway, all kidding aside, I'll drop the hyperbole. I continue to be disappointed because I wanted to like JJ Redick, and I don't understand how he can be so really uninformed and ignorant. I don't understand. I really don't.
On this topic, he is. On a lot of
topics. On this topic, I mean. Yeah.
On a lot of them, Bob, he's the best out there.
Well, he's not afraid. I mean, as a former player, and I've worked with guys, I've seen players come off the field of the court, sit next to me, and it takes a year or two. But the reason I appreciate Reddick, while I may not agree with him, he came out of the gate firing. So I appreciate that. No, I don't always agree with what he says.
He has an opinion. I think he is, especially in today's NBA, as good as it gets. But when you start going back and compare when you haven't seen with your own eyes, it makes it difficult. It does. And comparing eras is really, really hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
Bob knows better than anybody. I've been around for a few of them. Bob's been around for obviously a whole lot more than me and you, Gary. It's hard to compare eras. I mean, like, this era is going to go down. You're going to have some dudes that end up averaging 25 a game that in 20 years you're going to look back and like, how? How did he average 25 a game?
And Bob knows, I'll ask you to respond to this. It's not just in basketball. Go to the NFL. Because of what the audience wants offense. So leagues are going to give the audience what they want. They want to see offense. They don't want 90 to 88 defensive gems. They don't want that. They want offense because that's what drives fantasy. That's what drives betting. That's what drives excitement. So, Bob, it also is the way the league is called. I mean, the NBA wants points, period.
And that what you described is what we had 25 years ago. And go check out, go back and look at the in 94-95 finals, the Houston's two finals, and look at the Jazz and the Bulls, and you will not believe that we actually lived through this. I mean, we all complained about it. I remember talking to, I mean, there was one finals where nobody scored 100 in that stretch in the 90s. I call it was Ice Age. And teams, somebody became the first team. I loved shots attempted. Became the first team to take fewer than 80 shots a game. And that was either a Larry Brown or Jerry Sloan team. Anyway, yeah, we had that, and it was awful. And I remember us complaining to Stern and kidding him, you know, about it during the finals. And he was, well, people like a 1-0 baseball game, you know. And well, that's, I don't care. That's a little different. You know?
Yeah, a little different. But
well, you want some happy medium. To me, I want to see, and we get to this with the All-Star game a little bit, obviously different, but I want to see some level of defense and games. Again, when you just see these inflated offensive numbers, I don't know. I mean, again, I've seen a lot of these players that are putting up 40. I've seen them since AAU ball, and they never put up 40 in AAU ball, and now they're putting it up in the NBA.
Yeah,
so what does that say?
Yeah. Go ahead,
last, Bob. Last count, I counted 43 guys averaging 20 points.
That's crazy.
Unimaginable. And it's six. But we got, depending on the day, is 6 or 7 averaging 30. But there's over 40 people routinely each week are averaging 20 points a game, which is just unfathomable, you know. You're right. Balance. The balance that I'm screaming for, with the threes. Can't we have a game in which you can both take some nice threes if you get a decent and post up once in a while with a guy who knows what he's doing? I'm watching Zach Edey the other day, and I love watching Zach Edey. He knows what he's doing down there.
Yes.
And then, to say he may be a second round draft pick. I mean, I just.
Yeah, I've talked to him about it. I mean, he knows. These big kids know right now that, hey, listen, they're probably going to end up playing overseas. I mean, Kofi Coburn, one of the most dominant college players, big, huge from Illinois. He left early instead of taking the NIL and coming back. He left early. He's either playing in China or Japan and, making like $400,000 in China or Japan right now.
Wow.
Until somebody takes a big and wins a championship, then that'll change everything.
Yeah, maybe.
So, right. so let's go to the All-Star game. And I'm going to start with Bob. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not watch it. I did not watch it.
Yeah.
I turned it on.
It's good
said,
for
I
you. You made the right call.
I can't watch it. I can't watch it. I can't watch it.
They said it was the worst it's ever been.
Oh, it's terrible.
Like moments of it.
I just looked at the highlights after. I watched the first minute.
Standing around. There was one picture, Gary, with 8 guys standing in the corner on the side of the court and 2 guys just going 1-on-1. And it's glorified. Actually, I don't even want to call it pickup ball. I don't even want that. That's honestly, that's not right to do to pickup ball. because pickup ball at least is competitive and people play defense. This is a complete sham, a joke. And again, not just the players. The players, to me, have to change it, but it's got to be from the top. Somehow, it's got to be from Adam Silver in the top.
I did watch the first half, and the only reason I did was my daughter was staying over with us, and she she's a huge sports fan, and so we watched. I said at the halftime, "You had enough? Let's go." I it was reprehensible. It was just despicable, and of course, I missed the 27-point third quarter by our boy Jason Tatum. You know, but anyway, I bet he fought us some hard, guys fighting through screens and everything to get to him.
Him shooting threes on a chair. I mean, you might as well have put a chair out there in front of him shooting the threes, because that's basically what it was like.
So, I mean, all right. So the question, then of course, some people saying, "Oh, the fun police." You have accused of, if you knock the game, you're the fun police. Do you honestly think that? I said, if you love basketball, you can't like this.
It's all about entertainment. It's what they're doing is they're pushing the product, Bob. You're right. They're selling jerseys. You know, I even turned on the celebrity game, for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't handle this Saturday night. And, you see Jaylen Brown out there and he's got the mask on and, he comes back for the All-Star game, which is just the way it is now. That's what the players want. Tatum at least played a game before he came back.
Right.
But it's, you know what it is, Bob? It's one big commercial for the NBA. And if you're a basketball fan, there's no way you can watch the whole thing.
Oh, here's the thing. And now people are saying, we understand that the weekend, encompasses many aspects. Right. Okay. But shouldn't you want to build up to have the marquee thing? You're showcasing the best players in the world and have them go out and play a serious basketball game. Wouldn't that be more to the and,
how would you change it, Bob? Have you thought about the best?
You already hit it. Adam Silver and company says, "All right, no, we want a basketball game. We don't want this nonsense."
Well, I mean, look what happened with the Pro Bowl.
I don't care about football in that regard. The Pro Bowl game was always ridiculous to start with. You don't need an extra football game, an extra chance to get hurt.
To interrupt for a minute, I'm sorry, but my concern is, and you're right, football is different. My concern is the NBA is heading the way of the Pro Bowl.
I'm sorry.
That's my concern. What are we going to have, a skills contest next? And I mean, they have it anyways. But
they have it anyway. Yeah. But, no, it's ultimately it's opinion, and a lot of it is generational. I mean, maybe young people they've only gotten used to this.
They don't look at it. They don't look at it as, listen to us, because we're all so young. They don't look at it as a game. They look at it as like an event, or they'll watch it on. They'll watch it. My son will watch it on Instagram and clips.
Right.
How about this? I didn't look it up. I was trying to use my brain for once. What was the last good All-Star game? Do you remember?
I can't tell you. No, I pay less and less attention to them as time went on. I remember some good ones back in my day, and Seattle in 87 was terrific. And the overtime game, and Tom Chambers was the MVP.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Tom Chambers, he's not, today I'm the best player in the world. and that's the pride that those guys had. Now, I will tell you this. The second All-Star game that I covered was in 1973 in Chicago. And there was an ennui on the part of the players in general and the West. You know what the final score was? I'll never forget it. All-Star game, 104-84. Yeah. Wow. The West scored 84 points in that All-Star game in Chicago. And it got – then we started ratcheting up. It got better and better. But, it is.
Here's what I'd rather do than an All-Star game. Just have them play like knockout. Have them play one-on-one. It's one-on-one anyway. Making an actual one-on-one competition, Jason Tatum against LeBron, next guy advances. Why not? It's basically that way anyway.
I know.
They did try a couple of years a one-on-one contest.
I don't remember that.
72 and 73.
Really?
And it was colossally boring. And it didn't last.
All right.
And here's
my idea. It'll suck.
Here's trivia you can use at your next, gathering. Okay, yeah. Who were the first two champions of the one on one, and the only two? Because
the fact that you know this is ridiculous.
It's got to be Pete Maravich.
Ridiculous.
Pete Maravich.
See, you would think that. The finals one-on-one championship game in 1972 in Los Angeles was between Bob Lanier and JoJo White.
What?
Yes, thank you. Lanier won.
Who won?
Lanier won.
Yeah, he backed him. He must have posted him up the whole time.
Well, why wouldn't he?
JoJo probably never got the ball.
I think it was losers out, though. Anyway, the next year, here's the colossal trivia question of all time. Do you? I want to be honest, if either of you ever even heard of him, Barry Clemens.
Who? No.
Barry Clemens.
No, never heard of him. Never.
6'7" forward out of Ohio Wesleyan. Really? And he was a sub, and he won it. I forget who we beat. So, you know, we're all looking forward to, you know, obvious people. No, I remember covering the Celtics had, when they were practicing in those days, at Lexington Christian Academy. And they had their competition, who was going to represent the team, you know. And I remember covering it. And the last person I thought was B would be, you know, not, he wasn't that kind of player, JoJo. You know, he wasn't. Anyway, it didn't go anywhere. Now, maybe this sensibility of the modern player, maybe they would welcome it. Maybe these guys would welcome it and we'd get the big names and do it. Anyway, I just want you to know that they actually tried it once.
That's why Bob Ryan's in the Hall of Fame.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, guys. The Celtics heading into the home stretch, Jeff, are still the best team in the NBA. And is there a threat to them? And who is the most dangerous?
I thought you were going to say true or false first. You're just saying it's, you know, a given that the Boston Celtics are the best. I know they have the best record. So
they have the best record.
That's fair. I mean, the Bucks are still probably the one that if Middleton is healthy, that you would be fearful of because of Giannis, because of Drew Holiday, because of their, you know, their previous experience of winning a title. I think that would be the team. I don't know if there's anybody else now in the East that I'm scared of. And then obviously you're looking now, I don't have confidence in it, but you're looking at Phoenix and saying like, this is it for Chris Paul. He knows it. He's got a young superstar in Devin Booker and an old superstar in Kevin Durant. Can they generally, you can't figure this stuff out in 30 games, right? That's pretty difficult to do. But they have the point guard. They have the two wings. On their best day, they can beat anybody. I don't know if they can put it together for a series, and then you're talking, you know, three series.
I agree with this. I'm not prepared to crown them, you know, as the, quote, best team in the league. Now, last year, when they started their run in mid-January, from that point on to the middle of the finals, they were the most successful team in the league. We found out who the best team was. The best team won. They deserve to win. They deserve to beat the Boston Celtics, Golden State did. Okay. The thing that concerns – well, number one, I'll get there. The thing that concerns me about the Celtics in terms of they are like a several – it's a baseball kind of comparison. There are baseball teams that have been built for the 162 games season that weren't as successful in the short season because there's different requirements on pitching and everything else. And there were other teams that didn't have the – you know, the long-haul capability of them, but we're able to beat them in a short series. The Boston Celtics, I'm about to make a sweeping statement. Are you ready?
Uh-oh.
This is the deepest team I have ever seen. I've never seen a team ever deep. You're talking a game in which, remember, they had a game where eight guys scored double figures, and that means your 11th man scored double figures. I've never seen a team with this much quality, legitimate NBA players. Usually you've got seven or eight, nine at the most, and then you got three guys carrying the gym bags. You know, no, I'm serious. I'm not saying it's the best team I've ever seen. I'm simply saying they have accumulated more legitimate NBA players on their roster than I have ever seen. Okay.
And they don't have Gallinari.
But that doesn't mean that they can't lose a short series to certain teams. You mentioned one. Of course, Milwaukee. I'm not sleeping on Philly. I'm terrified of Embiid.
But, like, you're scared of James Harden? Really?
Well,
James Harden?
I didn't say it. I'm just saying I'm not sleeping on Philly. That's all.
Well, Jeff, let me throw this into the mix. Is when you mentioned, like, Harden, to me, he's the ultimate wild card. So I'm with Bob. I'm not going to sleep on Philly. So if you get in the only team in the East, I think, right now, and health is obviously a factor with Milwaukee. Milwaukee's always going to be there. It depends on the health. But Philly scares the hell out of me because in a seven-game series, say Harden has two, three good games, you know, and that's my concern. Out West, you still have to look at the Warriors if they get in or Phoenix, but the unknown that scares me is Philly, because I think Harden, he's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
I'm just not there on them. I don't think they have that like winning DNA they can do it. I don't see it. But again, Embiid, you're right. I mean, listen, nobody can stop Joel when he's got it going. We know that, but I don't trust Harden on in big moments. Certainly defensively, he'll be exposed. Not he can be exposed. He will be exposed. I like Maxey. I like Tobias. I love George Niang. We know that. I like him. And listen, for Doc's sake, I hope they go deep. Bob and I have such an affinity for Doc Rivers. I think we both root for him because we want him to save his job, number one. And it would be kind of cool, you know, Sixers, Celtics again, you know, deep in the playoffs this year, you know, Eastern Conference Finals. It'd be fun. I mean, listen, it's not the Sixers and Celtics of old that hated each other. But this would be a fun one.
Yeah, it would be.
Hey, Bob, can the Celtics shoot their way to a title? Because we know they love the three. Two-part question. First of all, can they shoot? Can they three-point their way to a title, number one? And can they handle the adversity if they get punched in the mouth?
I'm more concerned with the second one. That's a great question. But I'd like to think that the lessons learned, you know, after being up in the finals and why they lost and the turnover thing, you know, and I just learned this morning that Brown's still averaging three turnovers a game, the thing as far as that. As far as the three-point thing is concerned, yeah, I think that's going to have to remain a vital major part of their game. It built their identity on that. But the thing is the defense. You know, the last year they were a terrific defensive team for 2 months, 3 months. And we know they weren't at that level at the beginning of the season. And they all talked, you know, the dialogue was we have to improve. We got to get back to that defense that we had last year. But right, the mental thing you talk about is important. There's no doubt. They put it this way. They can talk the talk in that regard, and they are. But I wanted to see the walk.
You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, Gary, about somebody close with the Celtics. And he said, like, maybe the biggest difference on this team right now from a year ago is Derek White and his confidence. You know, think about that. Think about where he was last year. He, you know, he just come to a new team, couldn't make a shot, right? Could not make a shot his whole stretch, basically. Playoffs, he had a game here or there. But now, especially with Marcus Smart being out of the lineup, it's given him more of an opportunity. You can see his confidence. And again, adding he and Brogdon was such a difference because other guys can have off nights now. And you've got, like Bob was saying, you've got eight strong, like 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, solid. Like good guys if you have to plug them in. You don't really want to play them minutes in the playoffs if you don't have to. And you shouldn't have to with their eight strong. And they finally are healthy. Like, this could be tonight at Indiana, I think could be like the eighth time that they'll have all their eight guys, their top eight guys. So to me, let's see what they can do. Everybody's relying on the three, Gary. That's the only thing I'd say there is everybody's relying on the three.
They
more than most, right? Like Golden State more than everybody, but they've got the elite shooters, Hall of Fame shooters, so you don't care. The Celtics don't have that. That's collectively, they're a good shooting team, but if you look at them each individually, like, well, where's the Steph? Where's the Clay? They don't really have that.
Right.
The interesting thing about this roster composition, you know, is that when you have this many good players, you know, it increases the – you have multiple decisions you can make, you know, as the coach about and that's not necessarily such a good thing because the ideal team, everybody knows who the starting five is. And then you got three guys coming off the bench in a regular rotation. And one at least one of them is a specialist. Whether it's rebounding, shooting, defending, he's a specialist.
I think you have that, though.
Another one is a two-position player. You know, whether it's guard, forward, center, but more and then the third is just, you know, a guy, you know, a guy. But that's as deep as championship teams have traditionally gone in most cases.
All right, so I would tell you, then the three guys off the bench when everybody's healthy, Bob, are obviously Brogdon's accepted his role off the bench, right? But I guess what you're getting at is different, not who's starting, who's coming off the bench, who's on the floor at the end of the game.
Yeah, right. You know, now we talk about Derek White, and you know, he's gotten, I'm sure, very well accustomed to having a major role in this team. But if everybody's in the mix, he's going to have a lesser part of the whole. He's going to, and can he handle that? We know Brogdon can handle whatever comes his way. I think
White
and
can.
White's
the ultimate teammate. He's the Derek White and Brogdon, I don't worry about it at all. The one that is not concerning, but like will be interesting is Robert Williams if he's healthy.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, that's fine. But I'm sticking what I said. This is the deepest team I've ever seen. I'm calling Cornett and Muscala legitimate NBA players, and I think they are. And I've never seen a team that have this many legitimate NBA players. But that doesn't mean
they certainly have been able to withstand slumps, injuries, Jaylen Brown. I mean, it was a stretch where like Marcus was out, Jaylen was out, and they still have the best record in the NBA. So, gentlemen, we've done a lot of work today. Always a pleasure, and we'll do it again next week.